Today's lesson is on prayer. Does everybody have the gift of prayer? I want you to think about that for a second. Does any is prayer? Pardon?
It's going to take longer than a second to think about.
Okay. Well, that could be.
Prayer involves everything that we do.
Okay.
We don't pray, we don't win.
We'll see if that's a correct statement or not. It perhaps might be. Does everybody have the gift of prayer?
Yes.
I got a yes. Is prayer a gift?
Yes, also a yes.
Got a yes. What's intercessory prayer? Does everybody have the gift of intercessory prayer?
That's a special gift.
Okay. Does anybody care? Yes, ma'am.
I believe that we have many gifts.
Okay.
Prayer is a gift.
Okay.
But if we don't exercise it, it dies away.
Okay. All right. Does everybody have the gift of conversation?
No. Depends.
Pardon?
Depends.
Depends?
Yeah.
Depends on what?
On who they are, what they're wanting to converse about.
Yeah. No, not everybody has the gift of conversation. There's shy people, people that can't express their thoughts. People that feel inadequate, and there's people that are superstars at conversation. What is prayer? Is prayer a... Did you want to say something?
Well, I think that prayer, the gift of prayer, is conditional.
Okay, now we're getting down to, yes, it's an absolute, now it's a conditional. We'll come back to it. Is prayer a is conversation with God? That's one of the... Would you agree with that?
Yeah, only if you're listening.
Only if you're listening, okay. So, does everybody have the gift of conversation, whatever that verb would be, conversation? A good thing I don't make a living with my speech and have to talk for a living. Is being a conversationalist, we said it's not everybody has that gift. Does everybody have the gift of being a conversationalist with God?
Okay. Draw a person out and all that. Prayer doesn't necessarily...
Okay. All right. Okay. Now, the Lord's Prayer. What do you get out of the Lord's Prayer?
The disciples wanted an example.
Okay.
And they said, Lord, tell us how to pray.
They came to Jesus and said, John taught us how to pray. So, teach us how to pray. Matthew gives the long prayer that we normally use as the Lord's Prayer. Luke gives the shortened version of the Lord's Prayer. What do you get out of the Lord's Prayer? We've sang it, we've prayed it, we've repeated it. But what do you think Jesus was trying to get across to his disciples when he gave them the Lord's Prayer? Is it a set of words that we're supposed to pray every day? Okay, so what do you get out of the Lord's Prayer?
It's a guideline for the priorities of prayer.
Okay.
I believe that in Jesus' prayer that he gave to the disciples, it was a basis to build on.
Okay.
We can take that prayer and the foundation of that prayer and amplify that prayer with our needs and our thankfulness to God for His goodness and His mercy.
Okay. That's
sort of an outline for us to have. I mean, you write a paper and you make an outline of what it's going to say, what it's going to cover. It's
Okay. Okay. Now, when Mill calls me every once in a while, as soon as he calls, I pull out my outline of what I'm going to say to him. And I say, "Dear Mill, how are you? How are your children?" Is that the way we do it, Mill?
No.
No, usually it's, "What the heck do you want?"
Oh no, is he coming in town again?
Yeah, that's what most of it is. Did I miss now Neil Diamond coming? That's right, see. Yes, but it is an outline. But what does it mean to you? What do you get out of the Lord's Prayer? You're close. In fact, I think you're right. It's just different wordage. First of all, yes, ma'am.
To me, it gives me strength to keep going on.
Okay. All right. Who's it addressed to?
When it starts out, it says "our." The word "our" means okay. Christ and you.
Okay. That's who's it addressed to?
Our.
Is that important? Pardon?
I'd say yeah.
Absolutely, it's important. The person that we pray to is not just out there. It's just not a God. It's a father who cares for their children. I see three aspects of the Lord's Prayer. I see that we pray to our Father, not particularly our God, that's fine, but our Father, a closer personal relationship. What do you get out of "give us our daily bread"? By the way, where do you think that sentence came from? Where back in the history of the Jews do you think that sentence, "give us our daily bread," came from?
Because they fasted.
Manna. What happened out in the wilderness? How much manna outside of the Friday for the Sabbath? How much manna did they get every day? Just for that day. And one of the principles of the Lord's Prayer, "give us our weekly bread. Give us our monthly bread. Give us our yearly bread." No, "give us our daily bread." Bread. One of the principles of that statement is we cannot go back and undo the past. We can learn from it, but we cannot undo it. What effect do we have on tomorrow? What effect do we have on tomorrow? We don't know. So who's working on tomorrow for us? Who's working on tomorrow for us? God. It's a very important principle. If God's not working on tomorrow for us, there's no hope. The only day we have is today. And we try to many times get ahead of God. We look down the road and say, "Oh, how am I ever going to do that? How am I going to handle this next year?" David said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." Back in David's day, you had a little lamp that you carried. And the only thing that you could see as you took a step was the next step right in front of you. And that was it. You couldn't see down the road. You couldn't see around the curve. You just saw the next step. So God, he says, God's word is a lamp. He just guides us step by step. And Jesus came along and said, "Pray for your daily bread." Worry and talk to God about today. Because today's the only day you have that's influenced by God and you. God's working on tomorrow. You can't undo yesterday. You just focus on today. Then he said something kind of interesting. What did he say about forgiveness?
70 times 7.
Not in the Lord's Prayer. What did he say about forgiveness in the Lord's Prayer?
As we forgive others.
Well, I don't like that statement.
That's too bad.
Too bad, huh? Well, I think that might be a good statement right there. Why did he put that statement in here? This is the model prayer. This is the outline. This is the way that we're supposed to look at. Not the words, but the principles. The principle is we pray to the one who loves us. We pray to the one who created us. We pray to the one that holds us in the palm of his hand. We pray to the one that cares. Nobody else might care for you. You might think the world's against you. But God says, I knew you before you were even born. And so Jesus says we start out our conversation with God is by acknowledging our Father. The one that's head of the family. The one that should be the patriarch of the family. The one that's the spiritual leader of the family. The one that cares. Then he says, ask for what you need today. Then he says, ask for forgiveness as you do what?
Forgive others.
Others. Does that seem fair?
Yeah.
No, I kind of like to harbor a little revenge every once in a while. In the corporate wars, revenge is very important to remember what somebody did to you. Why did he put that in this model prayer? Why is that important?
If we expect mercy, we must be merciful.
Can you have a relationship with God if you hate your fellow brother? Why would you want to? Don't like the alternative.
Yeah, self-serving is not going to help you.
Pardon?
Self-serving won't help you.
Okay. Absolutely. Does God work tit for tat? Mike Schroeder forgives 4 sins from people that have done him wrong, so God's going to forgive 4 sins? Of that Mike has done? Is that the way that works? Why did he put that in there? Forgive me as I forgive others. Why of all the things we could pray for, did he put that in that prayer?
You may have to dwell in heaven with some people that did you pretty wrongly.
Okay.
If you hadn't got over it, then you won't be there.
Okay. Why is that important, though? Just think when Isaiah comes around and corner and there's King Manasseh, who we're told is going to be in heaven. What did Manasseh do to Isaiah?
Cut him in half.
Cut him in half. I'd like to be there. When Isaiah turns the corner and says, wow, what are you doing here? Why is it important? God forgive me as I forgive others. Yes.
Leroy.
Leroy.
Well, you cannot forgive others, it only destroys you, because you are the person that has to live with the hate or the contempt that you have for that other person. It would eventually destroy you.
Yeah. If we're to be Christ-like, what did Christ do for us as an individual when we were unworthy? Did he forgive us? Forgave us before it even happened. And then to show us how much we were forgiven, he was willing to go to the cross. Unless we have that attitude with our brothers and sisters of this world, we don't fully be able to accept the forgiveness and the graciousness and the kindness that God has for our life. So the three principles of the Lord's Prayer is that we have the privilege of talking to the person in the entire universe that cares the most for us. We have the privilege of sharing our needs, concerns for today. And then we have the privilege of understanding our forgiveness and taking that forgiveness that God has given us in our life and forgive the others, people that are around us. What is your concept of prayer? Is prayer an obligation?
No.
Yes.
Who said yes? I love it. Who said no? I love it when we have direct different answers.
It is an obligation, but it doesn't seem to be an obligation when.
How can that be? My wife and I, when we get up in the mornings, about how long is it before we actually speak to each other?
Hours.
She's not kidding. I'm not a morning person. I don't like the morning. I don't like anybody in the morning. Now, am I obligated to talk to her in the morning?
Yes.
Am I obligated to talk to her in the morning?
No.
Absolutely not. Would it be nice if I did? Yeah. First time I talk to Sue in the morning is about 9:30 or 10 o'clock when I call her at work and say, how's your day? How'd you sleep last night?
I thought you were going to say, what's for breakfast?
Are you obligated to talk to God in the morning? I'm just asking that question now. I sometimes don't stay on the same question. Are you obligated to talk to God in the morning? Are you obligated to have morning worship in the morning? Are you obligated to fall to your knees when you get out of bed and have prayer?
Five times a day, when you get up, when you go to bed, and once for each meal.
And the scripture for that is? And the scripture for that is?
I'm reading it here in the Bible.
Are you obligated to have a blessing at lunch?
No.
Are you obligated to have prayer at night before you go to bed? Then why do it?
Mm-hmm.
Pardon?
Survival.
I got a brother who's homeless. And when he needs money and help, he remembers that me and him are family. You know what I'm talking about, Mill? You know him. He reminds me that I'm family, and family helps each other. When his girlfriend slash wife came into $150,000 a few years ago, what do you think he thought of family? I'll let this doctor answer that question. What do you think he thought of a family when he had $150,000 cash that he did nothing to get?
I don't think he was too concerned.
Pardon?
I don't think he was too concerned about
the word family never was in his vocabulary.
That's right.
In fact, his exact quote was, "I pity anybody who tries to get some of this money from me." Now, he's in a survival mood. Survival mode, too. Boy, it's a good thing I don't make a living talking. So what do you think his conversations to me mean? And by the way, I did put him in a hotel for $1,000, and then I came back and put him in another hotel for $1,000, and then I sent him $1,000 of food money, and now he's in the same position as if I had never given $3,000, you see. But I had to go through the process knowing what the end result was. Same deal. So, does God want to hear you when you're in a survival mode?
Yes.
Yeah, the answer is yes. But if you're in a survival mode, then prayer becomes kind of an obligation. Do you all have people that when the phone rings and it's caller ID and you say, "I wonder what they want"?
But aren't we always all in survival mode all
the time? I think we're saved and we're children of God. I don't know if I agree with that. I understand what you're saying, but I'm not sure. I think I'm a child of God and I'm saved. And I think that He is working on tomorrow.
But I don't think I can survive.
Didn't say that. I don't. Okay, I appreciate your point. Do you ever get tired of people calling and you look at the caller ID and you know exactly what they're going to say? Help!
You know what? You have a cell phone and every once in a while you get a phone call and it's from somebody that either doesn't know you or else it's from somebody who wants to sell you something, right? So what I did with my cell phone is when I get that kind of a call, then I go down and I label it. You know what I label it? J-U-N-K.
Yep.
When I see that word come up, then I know I'm going to just close my phone and turn it off.
That's good.
Yeah.
Do you get tired of people when you see the caller ID, when you pick up the phone and they say hello, that you know exactly what the problem is? Is going to be or what the conversation. Have you all experienced that?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. Do we do that to God?
All the time.
I did.
What a pity.
But doesn't that come right back to forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors? Because that can be translated, love me the way I love other people.
Do I want to pray? Yes, I appreciate that. Do I want to pray that 5 times a day? God forgive me. God forgive me. God forgive me. God forgive me.
Keep loving me the way I love other people.
Pardon?
Some people do.
Yes.
There are days.
There are days, yes.
There are days we might ought to pray that morning.
There are days. Do you have a friend or a relative or somebody that you care for that you just love to talk to? That you just love to share the good things with? Every once in a while you love to share the problems that you have? Or you just like to share and talk to? That is what God longs for us to have and to pray. If we have problems, when did He know the problem existed? Before it ever happened. Rob and I remember in Colorado, I don't think he minds me telling this. If he isn't, he should be here to defend himself. We're in Colorado and we're talking about, does God ever get surprised? And Rob said, you know, I think every once in a while that God is, gets surprised. So I thought about that for a little bit because I strongly disagreed with it. So I said, Rob, I got a concept for you to think about. He says, what's that? That's why I love Rob. I said, I want you to imagine that Jesus and God are in heaven. And they're looking down on this earth and there's Rob. And I said, Rob, you do something. And Jesus turns to God and says, wow, did you see that coming? And God says, no, man, I'm shocked. I never saw that happening. And Jesus says, man, neither did I. I never saw that going to... He just laughed and he says, I've got to rethink that. See. The beauty of prayer is that every one of you in this class is absolutely 100% correct. Because prayer is an individual thing. And God relates to us as a church, family, group, denomination, person. Just like with grandkids, just like with kids, don't treat them all equal. Don't treat them all the same way. Because they have different personalities, different needs, different wants, different desires. And so it is with God. What God wants in our prayers is not an obligation. When I grew up, do you know, I went to church school, do you know who the most blessed people in the universe were? Right! Because every prayer had, because you didn't know anything other than as a little kid and say, and God bless the missionaries wherever they are. Am I correct? So they had to be the most blessed people in the universe. I hesitate to tell this, but then I've been in a lot worse trouble. We're at King, 1962, rebellious. Billy Joe Deepin, hope he never hears this. Billy Joe Deepin is going to give the Friday night prayer in the King Church. And so us guys get together $5. A lot of money back then. And told him that in his prayer that he would bless the corn farmers in New Mexico that we would give him the $5. And he very skillfully blessed the congregation.
He blessed the school, he blessed the missionaries, and especially the corn farmers in New Mexico. And he was now $5 richer. We laugh some. Don't get into a situation where that's prayer to God. Prayer is opening up your heart to a God who loves you, whose greatest desire is that you spend eternity with Him. He knew you before you were born. He knows your thoughts before you open your mouth. He knows all about you. But He still thinks enough of us to open up that pathway at 4 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock in the evening, driving down the road, sitting around thinking, laying in bed talking to Him. He just wants that dialogue and that conversation. And whatever is on your mind is the graciousness of God is on His mind. And so, if one wants to talk about their needs to God, he's willing to listen. But oh, how his heart jumps with a little bit of joy when you bring the thankfulness to him of what he's done in your life. Intercessory prayer is a spiritual gift. And that is biblical. It's one of the gifts listed. I do not have, nor does it bother me that I do not have the gift of intercessory prayer. There are certain people that have that gift and they stand out. One of them is Sarah Jane Rafferty, beyond a doubt. Trent Leopold, beyond a doubt. That's a special gift. We all have the privilege and the relationship to talk to God in any terms we want to. That's the beauty of it. Ever been mad at God? Ever questioned God? Tell Him. Jesus did. What was his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane? Pardon? I don't want to do this, paraphrasing. Now, that's pretty blunt. If there's any other way, that's pretty blunt. Get me out of this. It's pretty blunt. But nevertheless, I will do what you want me to do. That's the type of prayers that God yearns for His children to share with them. How many times have you seen your child or your grandchild? You know they're hurting. You know they're going through something. And you sit down and you just almost plead with them. Just share with me what's inside. What's going on? Share that with me. It's what God wants from us. He already knows. But who does it do the best for when we share our problems with Him? When we share our joys with Him? Who does that do the best for? God? Us! What's the most common mistake a person makes? Come on in. Well, definitely come on in now. I recognize you. My eyesight's not good. How are you doing, Pastor?
Good.
Good to see
God
you.
God bless you.
Please, thank you.
How are you doing?
Good bless you.
Oh, good.
Doing fine.
So glad to see you, folks.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
This is a former pastor, in case you don't recognize him, Paul Moore and his sweet wife, Jeannie. And Paul, what did you have to do with this church?
We had the privilege of building the first phase.
Yes, you did. And everything, and as I remember, Leroy and I were right behind you on that. But you did a fantastic job. Thank you very much. We appreciate you.
When we were invited to come with the second phase, because we designed the whole thing, I did.
Yes. Yes. Well, it's a fantastic building, and you did a fantastic job.
We walked into the sanctuary, and it seemed like we've been there a thousand times.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Well, we're glad that you're able to join us today. What prayer does is allow us to talk to God and share our feelings. And there's no set time to do that.
Well, there is.
You cannot come in. Here's the way it works, Pastor. You cannot come in after 35 minutes and contribute. Contributors get here much earlier. Does God speak to you when you pray? Or have you ever given Him time to? There's nothing more boring in the world with somebody that you have a one-way conversation. You ever talk to people? You lay the phone down. You go do whatever you want to do. And you come back and you pick up the phone and say, uh-huh. And they just keep going, you know. It's like they never met. Am I exaggerating that? A little bit, but isn't that the way it is? God wants to know what's on our hearts. He wants to know what we are concerned about. He wants to know what our joys are, what our situation. He is our friend. But good friends pause and listen for input from other friends. And God wants to share with us His thoughts. And sometimes we're too busy wanting what we want that we never give God a chance to respond, and we talk. Now, this is going to be an interesting question, so I want you to think about it in our closing. Are there such as an unanswered prayer? Have you ever heard people pray and say, well, God just didn't give me an answer? Is there anything such as an unanswered prayer? Leroy.
I'm going to say sometimes there is, and that's when our prayer is a demand of God to do something such and such.
Okay.
Now, of course, all of our theology says, oh, He answered it by saying no. But
okay.
There is such a thing as not answering a demand.
Okay. All right. Does anybody else have input? Yes.
I always want to believe that He will answer
your prayers. Okay. All right. Anybody else have any input?
I think God is not one who refuses to answer just because we're demanding.
Okay. We don't always hear the answer we want.
Or when we want it.
See, the thing is, when we get in trouble, we want certain things to happen. And sometimes we say to God, God, I need this, I need this, I want this, I've got to have this, this is what I need. And God looks and says, it's not good for you. See, I think some of the best answered prayers that in our prayer life is the unanswered ones, that we don't see the answer. Now, there's a quotation in closing that I'm working on for many, many years. And I think I'm kind of coming to a conclusion. Statement is made, which I believe, that when we get to heaven and we see the end from the beginning, we would not change anything. Now, in a personal life of spirituality that's been up and been down, and been up, been in the pig pen, been up, been down, I see where we created a lot of heartache in my life, a lot of problems in my life, still reaping the problems. So I say to myself, how can I say that if I get to heaven from the ending to the beginning to the ending, that I wouldn't change anything? Well, the conclusion over the years I'm coming to, number one, when I come face with that time, where am I? In heaven. So how would you change that? Yes.
In our imperfections.
Absolutely. See.
And we look back and say,
yes.
I sure messed up then, but look what you did.
Yeah. But now I'm slowly coming to the conclusion that as I look at the beginning and see the chaos created in many, many lives because of decisions that I've made, twofold. Pastor Moore said exactly, there was God working. Second fold is, He made the best of the situation that I allowed Him. So I'm becoming to understand that more and more. I'm in heaven, so the end result, but the chaos, I've learned to see how God loves and cares and how He works hard. Prayer. Yes, there's an appointed time. If one wants an appointed time, there's nothing wrong with that. If I said to Sue, I'm going to call you every morning at 9 o'clock, that's certainly great. Nothing wrong with that. But prayer's an attitude that I can talk to God no matter where I am. I do some of my best talking to God personally as I'm lying in bed late at night. I'm not on my knees. Maybe I ought to be. But I don't feel the need to. I just lay there in bed and go through some things and say, God, boy, you sure were, I can see where you were over here. See? But it's the attitude that I can approach my friend, my God, and have a conversation with Him anytime I want, no matter where I'm at. There are formal times, we're going to have a benediction in just a second, that we need to pray. But God loves those talks that are spontaneous when we just share, just as when a friend picks up the phone, Jim Quinn from 3ABN, and calls and says, Ernie, hey, just thinking about you, how are you doing? Lifelong friend of 52 years. Thrills my heart. It's not calling to want something, not calling to that, just how are you? Pray for our needs. Pray for forgiveness. Pray for strength to help others. Pray for our daily bread. But good friends, we call upon to share the good things as well as the bad things. And I think that's where we become so methodical sometime in our prayers lunch blessings, bless the food, bless the family. Nothing wrong with that.
Can I make a statement?
Nope, I'm closing up. Appreciate it. God is our friend. God's invited us to talk to Him anytime about anything that we want. Let's talk to our friend and let's listen to our friend. Prayer is a privilege. Father in heaven, just think. You've given us the privilege of calling you Father. You've given us the privilege of us understanding we're your children. The privilege that we can talk to you, share our ideas, our concerns, our love, our joys, our sadness. Oh, how your heart yearns for us to be open and to have that dialogue. May we be responsive and listen to your guidance and your answers. And make our prayer life a two-way dialogue. Thank you for who you are and what you've done in all of our lives. And thank you for inviting us to say, Our Father who is art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What a God you are. In Jesus' name, amen.